Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday evening. welcome to Holy Spirit Guides. If you follow Holy Spirit Guides, then you know that what we are up to now is August of 2007. And that's the period of time when Laurent, who is in the room, came to live with me. And Spirit began to coach us together. And it was actually 2 weeks ago, because last week I was in St. Louis. So 2 weeks ago, we went over the very first message that came in that series of messages. And tonight we're going to be going over the second message, possibly the third, depending on how fast we go through the messages. The next two messages, actually, I found that I never did post on reginadonacres.com. In fact, when I went through all of the messages recently, I found there were about 10 that I never posted. And I'm not sure why I didn't post them. Maybe I just perceived them as personal. So what I've done, the ones that are not posted, is I have put them in PDF files so that while I'm teaching, I can provide them for you. So here is a link that you can follow to a PDF file that will cover the one or two messages that we're going to look at tonight. I'm going to close the door. It's quiet in the house right now, but Ron is here. He's not here right this second. He's out taking care of business, but I think I remember him saying that when he got back, he and Jasmine were going to play Wii, so it might get a little noisy. So let me close the door real quick. And then we'll say a prayer. Okay, hold on. Okay, good. That way if they start screaming and getting competitive, we won't have to compete with them. They're fun. All right. Let me then just open up with a prayer. I see some more people have come into the room. What I will try to do, I'll try to keep my eye on the number. Right now there's 33, so that as more people come into the room, I can repaste the link. So there's the link to the message. Hi, Nancy, I see you. I see you. Okay, let's go into the prayer. Are you ready? Holy Spirit, I'm grateful to be here. I am grateful to be here. What I feel inside myself right now, I guess I will just describe. I feel what could be called a spark of light or a star. And it feels very alive and very joyous. I want to add the word childlike. I suppose that's innocence, willingness to discover. I'm grateful for this little star. I'm reminded right now that it's either NTI 1 Peter or 2 Peter that talks about the star within. And it says that the star within is our abundance. It's really referring to our self as our abundance. And Holy Spirit, that is what I am grateful for. I am grateful for our truth. Our truth is something that we certainly are not aware of all of the time. In fact, we may be aware of it none of the time. But our awareness of it does not change the fact that it is. And the joy, Holy Spirit, the greatest joy that I have known, is becoming more and more aware of that little star, that true self, that joyous, happy me. I just want to say thank you for what we are. Amen. Okay, so I've just given a link And Boris has entered the room, I think, since I've given it, so I give it again. This is a link to a couple of messages. We're going to look at least one, maybe two of these messages tonight. Again, these messages are messages that were given to Laurent and I very, very early in our relationship. We're really beginners here. So these are beginning messages. Laurent is in the room, and he does know that if at any time he feels he wants to say anything, all he needs to do is put up his hand, and he can teach alongside me. What I'll do then is I'll just start reading from the message dated August 30th, 2007, which is called A Message for Laurent and Regina. And I think I described the situation at least from my point of view. Laurent, of course, you know, may have had a different point of view or a slightly different point of view. But I described the situation from my point of view when we were here a couple weeks ago, in that this beginning time when we were together was difficult for me for a couple of reasons. One reason was that for the last couple of years, for most of, since about summer of 2005 until summer of 2007 when Laurent arrived, I had really had a oh, hey, Fran. Okay, now I want to go tell your daughter you're here, but I don't know if I should be getting up and running away again. I want to say, Danielle, your mom's here. I don't know if she heard me or not. I got all the doors closed now. All right. Up until Laurent arrived, I had had 2 years where I spent a significant amount of time alone in the house, writing with spirit, looking at my mind, receiving NTI. You could say that my outer environment, not necessarily my inner environment, but my outer environment was one of peace and quiet and no one to disturb me. When Laurent arrived, he didn't really arrive alone. He came alone, but within about 3 days of him arriving, I also began to take care of my neighbor's baby, Grace. So what really happened is within just a few days, I went from having this fairly quiet environment to suddenly having Laurent and Grace there. And it was very difficult for me. Just that change was very difficult. In addition to that, and I don't know if I talked about this or not before, I don't remember. In addition to that, at the level of form, Laurent and I were very, very different. In fact, I'm not certain you could find two people whose daily habits were more different than mine and his. It really was as if we were from two different worlds. Of course, he was from, you know, Paris, France, and I'm originally from Kansas, so there was a cultural difference there to begin with. But just about everything about us was different except for our desire to awaken. That's what we shared. But other than that, it seemed that our human values were completely different, and I don't know if we really had any, you know, human values in common. So that was also very, very difficult because, you know, even when we wanted to eat was different, what we wanted to eat was different, when we wanted to sleep was different, how we just wanted to live in the house was different, everything was different. So all of these changes all at once were very difficult for me. So when Holy Spirit brought the first message, which I went over with a couple weeks ago, he was really helping to remind me that although it seemed like a huge upheaval and it seemed like everything was not the way I wanted it anymore, that in truth, everything was a gift because it was being given to help me awaken. And that first message felt like Spirit was talking to me. But of course, I was only one part of this relationship. Yes, I'll post again. I was only one part of this relationship that Laurent and I had committed to. And so another message came very soon, which very clearly was for both him and me. And again, it's kind of what I'm going to call a stage setting message. It's a message that was helping us to get into the right frame of mind so that we did not forget why we were together, why things appeared as they did, and how they were helpful. So I'm going to go over this second message tonight. Again, it's called A Message for Laurent and Regina. It's in the link I've given you. It's dated August 30th, 2007. And with that said, let's go into the first paragraph. Again, Laurent, if you need anything that you want to add, just stick up your hand. All right, here we go. You must stop seeing each other as persons. You are not persons. You are ideas. I'm just going to stop there for just a moment because already I'm feeling the power of this. But I think a part of the reason I'm feeling the power of this is because I can really remember the state of mind that I was in, which may have been similar in some ways to Laurent's state of mind, in that, again, you know, when we came together, we were so different. We were so different. And I know that in the beginning, my mind judged the hell out of him. Like I said, all of our human values were different. So, you know, my mind was saying that my sleep habits were right, his sleep habits were wrong. My chosen times for eating were better, his chosen times for eating were wrong. My way of living in the house, the way I, you know, kept it clean was good. The way his way of living in the house, the way he left things laying around was bad. But as I mentioned, this was all, you know, human value stuff. But notice with that in mind, notice these first three sentences. You must stop seeing each other as persons. You are not persons. You are ideas. When I received those first three sentences, I'm going to say that to a point what that did was that knocked me off of my pedestal. Because I think that Laurent and I both had a similar ego state of mind in that I thought my values and my way of being and my personhood was better than his. I was better than him. And I think that he thought he was better than me. So you could say that we each had ourselves on a pedestal, judging the other. And these first three sentences knocked me off of my pedestal. They placed me into a state of mind that I would best call humility and a willingness to listen. A willingness to listen to spirit. Again, starting at the top of the paragraph, you must stop seeing each other as persons. You are not persons. You are ideas. Okay, now listen to the next sentence. Okay, we're knocked off of our pedestal. Let's listen to the next sentence. And some of those ideas are true, which represent your truth. So right now, one thing that is being acknowledged is that Laurent and I were not 100% in our wrong mind. There were times when right-minded thoughts came across our mind and we recognized them. And spirit is recognizing that, right? But then look at the next sentence. But some of those ideas are false ideas that hide your truth. You are here to shed the false ideas, so only the true ideas are manifest in form. What Holy Spirit has just given us is what in the business world would be called a purpose statement. The purpose of the Regina Laurent project. You are here. All right, this is why he and I were together, these two people who seemed completely different. except in their willingness to awaken, right? You are here to shed the false ideas so only the true ideas are manifest in form. This is what you are to do together. And you can only do this now if you choose to do this together in a partnership that represents your oneness. Now I have a greater understanding of this sentence now than I think I did then. I think then I misunderstood the sentence. I think that I thought that, well, if you'll please take this with a grain of salt, that I was stuck with Laurent. And the reason I say stuck with, I think I thought at that point, how can I say this? That I had to awaken with him. I now understand that's not what Spirit meant. I now understand that what Spirit meant was this was an opportunity. And that if we chose to embrace this opportunity, we could, for lack of better words, save time. But if we chose not to embrace the opportunity, well, for lack of better words, the relationship could be a waste of time. You know, Laurent and I could have stayed together for a year and a half, which is how long we were together. We could have stayed together for a year and a half, and neither one of us ever chosen to see the errors in our own mind. We could have spent a year and a half together blaming the other one, me always saying that everything was Laurent's fault, and Laurent always saying that everything was my fault. And we could have split at the end of a year and a half and really not have achieved anything. You could call it a year and a half of delay. And so I feel that this is what Spirit was really saying. You are here. Now, let's take advantage of it. Let's use this situation for healing. And you know, the funny thing is, Spirit can say that to us any day, any time, no matter where we are, no matter what the situation is. Spirit can always say that we are here to shed false ideas so that only true ideas are manifest in form. And Spirit can always say that you can do this now if you choose to do this in a partnership that represents your oneness. And the funny thing is, the partnership is really in, again, for lack of better words, what I'm going to call the individual mind. In other words, the partnership occurs in my mind. I choose to partner with Laurent, or I choose to partner with my job, or I choose to partner with my daughter, or I choose to partner with my illness for the healing of my mind. Do you see how there doesn't have to be another individual? There doesn't have to be a couple situation? I just choose to partner with whatever is here now for the healing of my mind. And whatever is here now is then going to be used for that purpose. Or I can choose not to, and it won't be. Right? It's completely up to me. So Laurent and I were together, you know, through our joint willingness, we were together, and now we had an opportunity before us, and what I needed to do was partner with him, and what he needed to do was partner with me. And I do feel that we partnered with each other, but I realize that if I had partnered with him, and he had not partnered with me in his mind, it still would have been beneficial to me. Or if he had partnered with me and I had not partnered with him, it still would have been beneficial to him, right? He could have spent a year and a half looking at his mind, finding the errors in his mind and letting those go. And I could have spent a year and a half blaming him for everything. And he would have experienced healing, and I would have experienced delay. So we don't really need both people to partner. But in this case, I do feel that we did. And I feel that we both benefited from the relationship as a result of each of us making the decision to partner with each other and with the situation that was given. So you must stop seeing each other as persons. You are not persons. You are ideas. And some of those ideas are true, which represent your truth. But some of those ideas are false ideas that hide your truth. You are here to shed the false ideas so only the true ideas are manifest in form. This is what you are to do together. And you can only do this now if you choose to do this together in a partnership that represents your oneness. Yin and Yang are a good symbol for you now, the male and the female that fit together to make one. But remember that it is the male and female that are illusion. Only oneness matters. Only oneness is. Again, Holy Spirit was giving us an opportunity to look at each other differently, to look at the other one as our partner in awakening, in the purpose of awakening. And again, it's great, it's really great that both Laurent and I chose to do that. But it still would have been beneficial if I had chose to do that, even if he didn't. And it would have been beneficial to him if he had chose to do that, even if I didn't. There's no way that we can make a decision within our mind to partner with any person or any situation for the healing of our mind, and it can fail to be beneficial. That cannot happen. If we really make that decision, the situation will be helpful. Going on to the third paragraph. As you use this symbol of male and female, you will be tempted to step into roles. Avoid these roles. They come from the idea of persons and will only strengthen the person thought in the mind. Laurent is not a man, and you are not a woman. You are ideas in one mind. Keep focused on oneness. It is one mind, not two, that is healed through you. That which is in you is in him, and that which is in him is in you. As you heal the masculine ideas in him, they are healed in you also. The feminine fears are healed in him as they are healed in you. Well, Spirit talked about roles. And again, we do have cultural ideas about responsibilities maybe that are male and responsibilities that are female. Laurent and I even had some discussions about this at one time. Also, Laurent would have ideas in his mind about, how a woman should be, right? How she should look, how she should act, how she should be. And I had ideas in my mind about how a man should be. And truth be told, I as a woman did not live up to Laurent's ideas of how a woman should be. And Laurent did not live up to my ideas of how a man should be. And so, Spirit was aware of the ideas in his mind and the ideas in my mind and knew that if we remained focused on these ideas, these male-female ideas, that this would be an obstacle for each of us. And so we were guided to let go of these ideas. And again, I'm going to say to start seeing ourselves as sexless, right? S-E-X-L-E-S-S. He is not a man. I am not a woman. And if we can erase that idea within our mind, then the idea that I should live up to some woman model, or the idea that he should live up to some man model, those ideas have to go too, right? So we are becoming sexless. At least this is Spirit's guidance, which of course is pointing towards our truth. It is pointing towards our truth, the truth of one Spirit. And then Holy Spirit, of course, points out that we are not two minds, right? There's another idea, another way that my mind would want to attack Laurent. And I'm not certain if his mind would do this. Some things he told me, so I know I can share fairly accurately, at least what his point of view was. But if he didn't say something, I'm not going to assume that he felt the same way. But I know that often when Laurent was talking, my mind would attack Laurent by saying that was his thought, right? His point of view, his thought. You know, he's the one that's screwed up in that way. Hold on, Ron must be here because Jamie wants out of the basement. Hold on. Okay, I use the opportunity to tell Danielle that Fran is here as well. So you know, Laurent could be talking about anything. He would be sharing, you know, a judgment. I mean, he wouldn't be talking from his right mind. I didn't judge that, but he'd be sharing some judgment or some fear, and my mind would say, you know, you, not me, right? I don't think that way. I'm holier than you, right? Is the door closed behind you? Because they're going to play Wii, so I want to keep it as quiet as possible. Okay, she came in here. Yay, Mommy, you got her in the room. So Spirit is correcting that error in this paragraph by saying, you are not two minds. You cannot say that that is his thought and not my thought. This is one mind that is being healed, right? As a thought is healed in his mind, it is also healed in your mind, because it is one mind. As a thought is healed in your mind, it is also healed in his mind, because it is one mind. And this is not something that I really, you know, just like often when Spirit tells me something, I don't necessarily truly get it to where I begin to practice it right away. But this is something that I got eventually. And then, of course, you know, transfer of training, when you truly get something, transfer of training is automatic, which means once I realized that as Laurent's mind is healing, my mind is healing, or I could even say our one mind, right, all of us together is healing, that way of seeing transferred to everyone. Which is one reason why I spend as much time as I do, quote, helping others, right, to look at their mind and heal their mind, because I have an understanding now that we awaken together as one, that if I am able to be helpful to another person, I am being helpful to our one mind, that we're all in this together. So the idea that, you know, that's your problem, that idea has died for me. And it's reminding me of A Course in Miracles, the manual for teachers. I believe it says something like, there is one requirement to be a teacher of God, and that is to see your interests and your brother's interests as the same, right? And isn't that in effect what's being taught here? So someone may come to me with a fear or a judgment that consciously is not in my mind now. I may not experience that. But that does not mean that the healing of that fear or the healing of that judgment is not beneficial to me, beneficial to all of us. It's worth all of my time and attention. It's worth me to help my brother in any way that I'm asked to be helpful, because it's helpful to all of us. Literally, we are all in this together. And Spirit was helping me to start seeing in that direction, this particular paragraph. It's not his mind, right? He's not the crazy one. Again, I was very judgmental in the beginning. Please forgive me, but I was. It's not his mind. He's not the crazy one. He's not the one with the problem. This is a joint endeavor. This is one mind that is being healed. One mind, right? One mind. All right, the fourth paragraph. Together, these fears, which we shall call masculine and feminine, again, Holy Spirit is using a symbol with us. Together, these fears, which we shall call masculine and feminine, the killer and the killed, rise up to be healed as two sides of the same idea. Now, Laurent and I actually had not been together very long at this point. Laurent, do you remember what day you came? It was like August 20-something. And here we are at August 30th, so it's not like we've been together 6 months or a year. We've been together a very short time. But notice the words killer and killed are being used. So that may give you some idea of what our initial experience was like. Now, again, I speak from my perception, and Laurent, anytime if you feel that you want to share yours, please do. If you feel mine is, good enough, then that's okay, because I am trying to share for both of us as much as I can. Our first experience, it seems like, although I was judging Laurent too, the more obvious outer appearance was him judging me. And I would say the reason that was the more obvious outer appearance, now that I look back on it, is because Laurent was more willing to say what was on his mind, and I kept my judgments more to myself. So if you were to have a camera in the room and you were filming what was occurring and trusting the appearance only without looking deeper, at the skin-deep level, what you may have seen is Laurent, in one way or another, always telling me what was wrong with me and how I was not good enough. And then you may have seen me as the hurt little puppy, right? And again, this is the outer appearance only, because remember, I told you I was also judging him, and I really thought my Kansas simple values were much better than his fancy Parisian ones, okay? So let's not be fooled by appearances. But this was the initial appearance, okay? He was the bully. I was the victim, all right? And to a point, we were both bought into that. It wasn't just me that saw him as the bully. He saw him as the bully. And it wasn't just me that saw me as the victim. He also saw me playing the victim role, and he really hated it. He hated that I played that role. So again, we hadn't been together very long, but we were in what appeared to be a very difficult situation, so that the words killer and killed are very good words. They're very good words because they made us look at exactly the roles we were playing. And again, that's what we were doing. We were playing roles. And we really needed to look at the roles we were playing before we could begin to realize that's not what we are and release them. So again, together these fears, which we shall call masculine and feminine, the killer and the killed, rise up to be healed as two sides of the same idea. So initially, we may have seen, again, us as different, right? He was the killer. I was the killed. He was the victimizer. I was the victim, right? So Spirit is telling us we are not different. We are not different. Of course, you guys know that in the world, if the man is the bully and the woman is the victim, many, many people will gather on the woman's side of the story. Even other men will, right? Gather on the woman's side of the story. The poor victim is right, and the bully, right, is wrong. Spirit is saying this could not possibly be true. These are two sides of the same idea. If they're literally the same idea, if they are literally the same, how can one be better or worse than the other? And of course, this type of judgment has to be let go of, because If I feel more righteous as the victim, and I see him as wrong, he's bad, right? I am not going to look at my mind and heal. That feeling that I am more righteous, that I am more right, I'm the poor victim, is going to be an obstacle to my own healing. And believe it or not, the flip side of that is true. He was bought into the idea that he was the killer. He was bought into the idea that he was the bad one, that he was hate. And there was guilt in him for being this way. Okay? There was guilt in him. If he buys into that, I am hate, for example, that is an obstacle to his healing. So as long as we believe there's one that's more innocent and one that's more guilty, neither of us get to heal. Neither of us get to heal. Do you see? It doesn't even matter if we're both blaming the same one. My finger can point at him and his finger can point at him. But as long as we're in that blame and guilt game, neither of us get to heal. So Spirit wanted to help us see there was not a better or a worse here. This is the same. Killer and killed are the same. And I'll tell you, as we went further along with Spirit, I started seeing how I killed Laurent within my mind. Like I said, I wasn't as vocal about my judgments, but they were there and they were strong. And so eventually I came to see that I really wasn't just the killed, that I was also the killer. But I hadn't seen that yet when this particular message came. When this message came, I felt very much like the victim. And so Spirit is pointing to the fact that there is no difference between the victim and the victimizer. And yeah, I see Laurent saying yes, and I see Laurent saying same here. So you can tell that we were in this experience together. All right, back to this paragraph. Together, these fears, which we shall call masculine and feminine, the killer and the killed, rise up to be healed as two sides of the same idea. The idea is that of not oneness, right? Not oneness. It's him, not me. It's her, not me. I'm the better one here. See all the separation in these thoughts that we had? It was really just the idea of not oneness, which, you know, we popularly call separation. Not oneness is the illusion you believe or you could not fear. As you face your fears together in partnership, without any avoidance of these fears, it is your oneness that will rise to transcend them. I believe I still remember receiving this sentence because as I read it again, I feel like I can feel the emotions I felt as I heard this. I'm giving the link again for new people that have come into the room. It seems like there was an oh shit and then a relief as this sentence came. When Spirit said, as you face your fears together in partnership without any avoidance of these fears, that was the oh shit. Because like I said, it already wasn't good. Laurent and I were not really having fun. This told me that it wasn't going to get any better right away. This told me that Laurent and I were going to be walking through some darkness together. And I think probably many of you know that when we first have the realization that we're going to be walking through some darkness, through some difficulties, through some fears that we've been afraid to face until now, right? There's this feeling of dread. This feeling of, shit, I don't want to do that. And it's funny, just yesterday I posted a song about this. It's a great song. If we end up with like 5 minutes, maybe I'll try and play it at the end. It's a song called Happy. Who sang that song? Do you remember? Leona? Leona Lewis. But it's a great song because she's talking about basically she's so willing to be happy that she's going to walk through any fear. She's not going to let any fear stop her. And that's really the feeling that came over me in the second part of this sentence. The first part of the sentence, without any avoidance of these fears, there was this, oh, shit. But then the second part of this sentence, it is your oneness that will rise to transcend them. When I heard that part of the sentence, my heart opened. I knew that Laurent had spirit in him, and I had spirit in me. And spirit within us would rise to the occasion and help us to transcend whatever fears there were. In other words, this gave me a willingness to go through those fears. So I very quickly, you know, in the space of a comma, went from dread to, yes, let's do this. I want to do this. Really, I want to do this. And again, that's what this song is all about by Leona Lewis, the song called Happy. I want to do this. So as you face your fears together in partnership, without any avoidance of these fears, it is your oneness that will rise to transcend them. Fears must be transcended when they are faced as one, because oneness is real and the fears are not. We have a guarantee there, right? Fears must be transcended when they are faced as one, because oneness is real and fears are not. And again, in order to have oneness, oneness is a perspective. It's what the Course would call looking at the situation with the Holy Spirit. In order to have oneness, what I had to do was partner with Laurent for the healing of my mind. And in order to have oneness, what Laurent had to do was partner with me for the healing of his mind. We did not actually both have to be in agreement for it to be beneficial to either one of us. Whichever one of us was willing to make that decision would benefit, because we would have that oneness perspective. We would have that purpose perspective. We would be looking at everything that we went through with Holy Spirit. The good news for us is we both chose to make that decision. So that's the good news for both of us. So fears must be transcended when they are faced as one, because oneness is real and the fears are not. Therefore, when the light of oneness shines on fear, it is fear that must disappear. You and Laurent must work on your oneness. And what this really means is our perspective, our way of looking at each other. I do know that many, many couples, even though they may join in relationship for the purpose of healing their mind, I know that many couples do not get past the blame game. That's where they get stuck. It is always the other person's fault. It's always the other person that needs to change. It's always the other person with the error in their mind. It's always the other person projecting. Laurent and I did not do that. I mean, we certainly had judgment thoughts in our mind. But at least the way I perceived it is, even though the judgment thoughts were in our minds, we each took responsibility for our judgment thoughts. Laurent and I had maybe a couple of what I would call fights, a couple of little blame game spats in a year and a half. And they didn't last long, because immediately the energy of that was noticed, and we went back to the perspective of healing, the perspective of I'm responsible for my perception, right? That perspective. What's the error in my mind? I guess what I want to say for anyone who is willing to listen, it doesn't matter whether you are in a couple relationship, whether we are talking about your work, whether we're talking about your children, your parents, your financial situation. As long as you choose to blame another or a circumstance for your unhappiness, you are blocking your own healing. The blame game is an obstacle to healing. So in these first few days when we were together, we were in a blame game before this message came. We were in a blame game. And what Spirit is telling us is that's not going to work. That's not going to work, guys. It's not going to happen. You know, you came together because you want your minds healed, each of you. And it's not going to work, Laurent, if you keep saying that, you know, everything is Regina's fault. It's because of her that you can't be happy. And Regina, it's not going to work if you're going to say everything is Laurent's fault. It's because of him that you aren't happy. So the first thing you guys need to do is work on your oneness. Oneness is a change in perspective. It's a change in perspective from the ego thought system, which is separation, to the Holy Spirit thought system, which is oneness. And a very, very simple way to switch from ego to Holy Spirit is simply to remember, everything that is here for my healing, and what I want above all else is to heal. If you can maintain those two thoughts in your mind, then you are coming from the perspective of oneness, and you will not play the blame game, because when you're in that state of mind, the blame game makes no sense whatsoever. Your mind may be saying over and over again, you know, it's his fault, it's his fault, it's his fault, but you're looking at those thoughts. You're looking at those thoughts as they're occurring in your mind, and you might be saying, for example, this is an attack thought I do not want. This is an attack thought I do not want. This is an attack thought I do not want. And as you look at the thoughts in your mind, and you choose to take responsibility for every single one of them, and you realize the only thing that could make you unhappy are the thoughts in your mind, you will heal. It's impossible not to. It is impossible not to. But it is also impossible to heal if you continue to blame someone else or something else for your state of mind. So you and Laurent must work on your oneness. Learn to see how you fit together in purpose. Right? How do we fit together in purpose? Everything he does or says is for my healing. Everything I do or say is for his. We are nothing but gifts to one another. That's all that we are. I am his angel and he is mine. Or to use the language of the Course, I am his savior and he is mine. Although we may appear to be beating each other up, right? Kind of funny how it works. But you know, that little shift in perspective changes everything. It changes everything. You can feel like a victim in one moment, and then if you remember, wait a minute, this is here for my healing, and all I want to heal. In an instant, the situation becomes a gift, and you are blessed. You went from being victim to blessed in an instant. Because you remembered the purpose. It's a miracle. It's a shift, and it's a miracle. So you and Laurent must work on your oneness. Learn to see how you fit together in purpose. As you do this, your fears will most certainly rise, and I assure you they did. As you do this, your fears will most certainly rise. But do not let your attention shift to your fears. That would be going back to the blame game, right? Remain firmly fixed on your oneness, your inseparability, which was our purpose, which is your truth and your strength. So again, as long as we stayed in the right frame of mind, which was with purpose, remembering why we were here, remembering why we were together, remembering what everything was for, and remembering that my own happiness and my own unhappiness can only come from me, right? And so anytime I am unhappy, I need to look within me to find out what is causing that unhappiness. As long as we remembered that, we were fine. When we forgot that, we would suffer a little more. How much did you enjoy that inseparability word? I don't remember. Do you remember? Did I hate that? Did I have resistance? Remain firmly fixed on your oneness, your inseparability? Did I, Laurent? I don't remember. I might have. I might have at that point had resistance to that word. He says, yes. Yeah, I remember another time Spirit asked me to be devoted to Laurent, and I had huge resistance to that too. So, so there was resistance here. I guess at this point I did not want to be inseparable from Laurent. Now I realize I'm inseparable from Laurent and everyone, and I'm totally okay with that. I do understand our inseparability now. But then there was the ego part of my mind. The ego part of my mind felt trapped in this relationship with him, even though it was a few days old. Like, oh shit, this is how I have to heal, is in this awful relationship. But that was only the ego part of my mind. The right part of my mind, which was often stroked by Holy Spirit's teaching, the right part of my mind was grateful. And since I've now gone through the relationship and am aware of all of the healing that occurred in me, I have nothing but gratitude for the relationship and nothing but love for Laurent. And I would say that's one miracle of our relationship. You know, many, many, many couples, when they do physically separate, they physically separate with grievances that are sometimes never within this lifetime healed. When Laurent and I separated, at least from my point of view, I did not have a single solitary grievance. Every grievance that I held against him was healed while we were together. And when the time came that I was guided to let him go, all I did was love him. And that's something I'm very grateful for. I'm very grateful for that because, of course, it's a burden that's not on my shoulders, right? If I held grievances against him, that would be my burden. By holding no grievances against him, I carry no burden. So it's my own joy. It's my own joy. Now, at the end of this message, which was to both of us, there was a little private paragraph, which was just for me. And that private paragraph says, "And Regina." Hello, Jamie. "And Regina, remain strong in your trust of Laurent. He will need your trust, and you will need your trust if you are to move through the times ahead. In the beginning, there was a thought in me that Laurent just wasn't going to be able to do this. He wasn't, right? There was a thought in me that, again, at this point we saw him as the killer. So there was a thought in me that his judgments were too strong. He was too attached to his own point of view, his own way of seeing, and he would not change. I had already decided this in the very beginning. And Spirit is letting me know right off the bat that that is an error. And in fact, it's kind of funny. This is really the teaching we did in the original edition of this last Friday. The last part of chapter 8 is about trusting your brother, always and no matter what. Always and no matter what. Trusting your brother. And I did eventually, with Spirit's help, get to that point of trust. I got to where, when I looked at Laurent, I saw the exact same willingness in him that I saw in me. I got to the point that when I looked at Laurent, his ego fears became meaningless to me. And it's like the willingness within him just swelled to where that was all I could see. So later in our relationship, when I was talking to him, I would tell him about this. I would tell him, "But all I see is your willingness. All I see is your love." And by that point, I was being very honest. But I didn't feel that way in the beginning. And so this is what Spirit is telling me, is that I need to trust him. Not only would Laurent need my trust, because it's not going to be helpful to Laurent if I'm not having faith in him. But if I'm not having faith in him, I'm also not having faith in me. You see, you got to remember, we aren't separate. We are one. If I don't have faith in him, I do not have faith in me. Again, that was the teaching this last Friday in the original edition from the last part of chapter 8. So I need to trust my brother. I need to trust His willingness, trust His path as much as I trust my own. Because if I don't trust His, then I also don't trust mine. All right. Laurent, we have 5 minutes left, so I will not be beginning the next message. Do you have anything that you want to say?
Actually, no, as you noticed, I really don't have a lot to say. Actually, I don't have anything to say because I'm listening to that just as if it was for me right now today. And actually, there's a big wink because it is. I have a question for that. I always had I never had a problem with you and other persons. But I always had a problem with your ideas. Still today. Now, I understand that what I think I am is a mixture of ideas. But maybe now, you know, with the Ramana Maharshi messages and the whole thing that that is really pointing towards self, towards what we are, towards... you could call it, I don't know, being, emptiness, awareness. It's not pointing toward ideas. Do you see where I'm going? It would be nice if you could clear that up. Are we ideas, or are we the emptiness within which ideas come and go? Are we just life, because life is not ideas? Or, of course, Holy Spirit is here talking to us at that very beginning stage where we need where we needed like to pass from persons to ideas, I guess, but as a stepping stone. Do you see what I mean? I'll give you the mic. Maybe you could help me with this.
Yeah, I once had that question myself, in fact, before this message, because A Course in Miracles also says something about us being ideas, and I had the same confusion. So what I literally did was I pulled out the dictionary, and I looked up the word idea. The first definition of the word idea is a transcendent entity that is a real pattern of which existing things are imperfect representations. I'll read that again. A transcendent entity that is a real pattern of which existing things are imperfect representations. So what that said to me is that there is a real existence, and that's what we are, is that real existence. And then, of course, these people that we think we are definitely imperfect representations of that, right? So when we think of the word idea, you know, sometimes we think of concrete thought, you know, like I am a woman. We think of that as an idea. But idea actually has another meaning that goes way beyond that. In fact, a woman would be an imperfect representation of the true idea, which is existence, which is life. So, and it's interesting in this message, Spirit says you are not persons, you are ideas. So he is pointing past the person right there, right? He's pointing past the person. Then he says some of those ideas are true, which represent your truth. Now I feel like he's going more back to our thoughts in that sentence. But he's talking about the thoughts, you know, like if we have the thought, I am not a person, I am spirit, that's an idea that represents truth, right? And then there are other ideas which are completely false, such as I am a woman. So you could say the word idea is being used in three different ways here. There is the idea, which is the transcendental entity or life itself, which is beyond thought. There is the idea, which is the Holy Spirit's idea, which is a representation of that truth. And then there is the idea that is the ego's idea, which is completely false and has no basis in truth. So hopefully that answers the question. And I see that we are out of time, so I'm going to go ahead and go. But what I'm going to do, just in case anybody wants to hear that song that I talked about earlier by Leona, what's her name again?
Leona Lewis.
Leona Lewis, is I'm going to give you the link. Hold on one second. I'm going to have to push on play for half a second just to get... Oh, it doesn't give me the link. Well, shoot. It's in my Facebook profile page. So why don't you guys just go there, Facebook profile, and scroll down. Here's what it sounds like. See? But I need to go now. So go play it in Facebook or look it up. Leona Lewis. The name of the song is Happy. You can find it in Facebook. Okay? Bye, you guys.
I feel pain. Don't you love me?